It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. And, just figured I'd do a quick little podcast here. Not necessarily quick. I mean, I got about an hour, a little less than an hour here to talk. So, we shall see how this all goes. But just had some things I was thinking about and been kind of in the trenches of getting this little mini comic out, which, in the trenches sounds pretty hardcore, but it's not that bad. I'm not at war. Living in the land of promise here in America. The land of milk and honey and all that fun stuff. So we don't have it that bad. Luckily, so far, hopefully nothing changes as far as, the basic comforts we enjoy and are fortunate enough to be a part of and have been born into, you know. But still, even in this kind of situation, there's plenty of struggle from plenty of people, you know. Some people more than others. I'm happy, you know, there's a lot to be grateful for, you know, too. I think most people, especially in America, can look at their lives and be grateful for some things. I'm pretty grateful that I have a car at the moment, and it's not breaking down on me. Although, if I don't fix a few things soon, it probably will, but still. but I can get from place to place. Grateful that I have at least a little extra money so I can go do this convention this weekend, and grateful that I have a loving wife and family, and you know, there's some things that I feel like are missing in my life, but I tend to focus on those too much, and I wish I didn't, you know. But right now I'm feeling more grateful for the things that I do have, and I really hope I can learn how to look at those things instead of the negative things more. It's not easy. A lot of times I walk around and, I'm at work or whatever, doing my daily stuff, and I just feel like I'm barraged by just thoughts, like little stupid tiny things, just that, like something will bring to my memory something stupid I said or something, you know, some place where I fell short and didn't, you know, hold up to my end with somebody, you know, or just little things that I know I feel bad about or something, or I don't know. There's like an infinite amount of things as you grow older that you could focus on that'll just like get you down and stuff. And I usually combat that with coffee. And that doesn't even work because I drink it too much. I drink like a couple cups of coffee a day just to feel normal. I'm happy, you know. I'm relatively pretty happy anyways, usually. Like, there's a lot of unneeded stress that we tend to put on ourselves. Sometimes, you know, what does this person think of me? Why am I not far in this area of life? Or why does this person have more than I do? Or, I don't know, there's like so many little things. Really tiny, minute things too, not even things that big, you know, that just like hit you across the side of the head every like 5 minutes. like I said, I want to be better at just kind of ignoring that and pushing forward. But yeah, like I said, I am pretty much generally happy. I know it doesn't sound like that when I'm saying that, but, you know, I have a lot of good things that are going for me, too. So focus on the strengths, you know what I mean? There's a principle, and yeah, I know I'm like sitting here talking about life and what does this have to do with art and whatnot. I don't know. When I talk, it's going to meander over towards art and comics naturally anyways. That, and I also meander over to my faith a lot of times too. Well, I would if anybody wanted to hear it, but usually people don't care to hear it. So I usually pretty much stay away from it, but in my natural state, I'd talk about it all day. But anyways, I also naturally come around to art and stuff, comics and all that. So, but yeah, what does this all have to do with everything? I don't know. I just, what was I going to say? There was like, a principle that people talk about, and it has to do with, this whole, thinking positively, and I keep wanting to say, like, visualization and all that stuff, but that's not exactly what I'm thinking, but hopefully I'll meander back over to it again. But yeah, you know, this week's been the grind, you know, trying to get this comic done. I will say that the comic is finally done, at least for this first draft that's going to be at the convention. It's pretty much all done, but I might go back after the convention and, you know, just edit a few little details and stuff, and make it a little bit prettier, just with, like I said, just some detail stuff. But for now, it's definitely at a finished point where, you know, I'm proud of it and I'm happy to put it out as is. You know, I'll print like 10 or so copies, hopefully tonight. And we'll go with that for the convention. And I actually have to print up the same amount for the other issues too, because one of them, the second Glyph comic, is totally like, I think I have one left. I don't know why. I thought I'd have more of that left than the first one, but then the first one I have like 4 or 5, so I'd like to have like 10 to 15 of each issue so that I can at least have a few to, like, package together. Like, I'll say, you know, I don't know, $3 per comic, or, you know, $6 or $7 if you want all three. I don't know. I haven't worked that number system out yet, because nothing quite sounds right just yet, but hopefully I'll have that worked out. So I got to print those up hopefully today. I actually went to the printer last night, and I was just like, I didn't even think they'd be open, but they were. I was like, okay, maybe I can get this thing printed. And then I just had them do, and this is one thing for anybody who's, you know, if you've never printed before, always make sure you, you know, get a sample first to make sure they're doing it right. Especially if you go, if you're doing it like these are just mini comics. So, you know, I'm going to Staples or whatever, and, I've had them print it so many different ways that were wrong. Like, it's very creative how they're able to figure out new ways to do it wrong. So you have to just kind of coach them through it and, you know, make sure you get your first sample. Okay, is this right? And this time I got my sample back, you know, and I'm looking at it, and it's so hard to tell if it's right or not because it's just a bunch of pages on the front and back, and I hope it's all aligned right or whatever, I don't know. But one thing I did notice is one of the pages was repeated on in a different spot. And I'm like, oh crap, that's not good. That's not going to be good. So I was like, I was very glad that I did that, you know, grab the sample, you know. And this time it was my fault. They actually printed it perfectly the first time, surprisingly. So that was awesome. But I screwed up, so I'm like, all right, well, I'll come back tomorrow because it was too late by then. Today at lunch, I'm going to fix whatever was messed up on that, and then on my way home tonight, I'm going to see if I can get, a bunch of stuff printed up. I'm also hoping to get some new prints done, and I haven't sold prints on my site yet, but I'm going to try, I think I'm going to start trying to, because, I don't know, why not? If I'm making prints for the convention, why not, sell them on my site too, and see if anybody will grab them. But I'm kind of excited, and who knows, usually like you go into a con thinking, okay, I'm going to do this and this, and that's going to get people interested or something, or that people will buy this, and then you go to the con and come to find out they were into something else, or they just didn't care about anything, or whatever. But I think it's a pretty good guess that, that, I don't know if you guys saw that group painting from Guardians of the Galaxy. I say it's from Guardians because I don't really pronounce the T, Groot. So you might not know what the heck I'm saying. But yeah, Groot. I did like a painting, and actually Paul Kijiji bought it on eBay. It's really awesome that he supported in that way. And throughout the whole process, he was like, wow, this is really cool. So he really wanted it. So I'm glad he got it. And so, why not make right now Guardians of the Galaxy is super hot, and I was already thinking about making some stuff for it, the convention, like some sketch cards or something. And then I'm like, well, hello, I did a freaking group painting. Let's make some prints. So those will be available at BingCon, Western Massachusetts, if anybody happens to be in the area. Actually, by the time this is published, it will already have been done, so I'll be publishing it the day after, because that's just how my schedule works. But, but it's still a good opportunity. Whatever I have left over, I'm going to put up. Well, actually, I'll just print some more or whatever if I need them. It's easy to print more. But I'll sell some prints of it as well on my site. So, if you're interested in getting a copy of that, go over to donkeyjawprojects.com and, I'll have it up there for you if you're interested. But yeah, so that's what the life of me has been like this week. I've been really just working hard every night and being on the computer a lot. And I'm not used to being on the computer a lot, and I don't really like it. My back hurts after. I'm probably not sitting right. I don't have a great chair. And I don't know. I just not a big sitting at the computer. Like, if I had a laptop, that would be ideal. Like, I really want to get a laptop at some point, because then I could just sit on my couch. That's where I do most of my work anyways, sitting on my couch. And then I could knock a lot of stuff out, a lot more. I'd have no problem with coloring comics, because I could just sit there while we're watching TV and color away. And, as the time goes by, it'll just happen. Like, a lot of progress could be made that way. And that's one reason why I'm like, I don't want to color anything, because I don't have the time to sit in front of a computer and color it. And I've thought about maybe doing, some, almost coloring it before it even gets, to the digital stage, and just scanning it. Which I may do. Even if I do get a laptop and I am able to do more coloring digitally and stuff like that, I may just, I probably still would experiment with trying to do it in an analog fashion, because I just think it's fun. It might be a cool look. So, I really love, and I never really have said this to people before, but I don't know why, but I've always loved the way watercolors and, you know, mixed with ink, brush, and pen look. Freaking amazing. Like, everybody always gets these Copic markers and everything, and illustration markers, and I got them too, you know, as much as I have been able to collect. And they're fun, you know, I have fun with them, and they get a cool effect, almost a similar one to watercolor, because the light of the paper kind of shines through, so it's almost like a little bit transparent, so that's kind of cool. But honestly, I definitely prefer the way watercolor looks over, you know, much more than I do like Copic markers. Way more. It just there's always like this texture. It's not like, I don't know, it's, you can get an even coat, but you can also get a lot of texture in there. Sometimes there's a lot of happy accidents and stuff. You can, you know, play around with different techniques with, you know, do the old toothbrush thing where you like spray stuff onto it so there's like little dots or whatever. That sometimes I think is overly used, but I do it once in a while. But it's definitely a cool technique. But there's like a lot of other things, like washes, and there's a lot of techniques I don't even know about yet. I saw somebody putting like really wet coat down and then throwing salt on it, and it like does this weird, almost like a snowflake effect, which is kind of cool. So I don't know. There's like a lot of different things you can do with watercolors, and I just love how it looks. And then you throw the ink on top of it, and it's just, I don't know. Or you can, you know, paint. I mean, with these, with the, some of these good inks, you know, you can paint right on top of the ink and it won't smudge or anything, which is cool. But, I think sometimes the ink layer will fade, though, and you have to kind of go over it again if you want that super dark line, but maybe you don't, you know. So there's a lot of give and take, a lot of stuff you can do with watercolor, and I've always loved how it looks, and I just haven't used it as much as you would think I would use it more, as much as I love it. But I'm gonna start using it. I actually, if you guys go to Michael's, they have right now they have like this big, pretty decent sized palette. I think it's like 36 colors, and it's like $6 for a watercolor pan with like 36 colors. I bought one. I'm like, hell yeah, I gotta get that. Especially since I've been into it. And I have, like, this little one that I've been using. And it's, like, one of those, I think it's, like, a Winsor Newton one. And they're really nice and compact and fold out. It comes out, like, you open it up and there's, like, a little tray you can pull out and mix your colors. And it's nice and cute and everything. I've been using that one for years. And I haven't replaced the pans or anything because I just don't do it enough. But, you know, even that little one that I have, like, I think costs, like, $20 or $15. It's, like, way too expensive. And then if you get, and that's only, like, I don't know, 9 or 10 colors or something. And then now I'm seeing this big pan, you know, from, and I don't know, that maybe the paint isn't as good. I don't know. I think all that stuff, you know, people get into, like, using expensive tools. And I heard somebody recently say, you know, that you can, there's definitely a difference. Like, the reason why certain stuff comes out better is because people might be, you know, investing more money into their tools and stuff, and, you know, that might be the case, might not, I don't know. But to me, I feel like if you're an artist, you can take anything that makes a mark and make something awesome out of it. If you're really, like, I don't know, that sounds pretentious if you're an artist, but I think I should say more that I feel like creative people have the ability to make anything work if they can, if they need to, you know? So, I mean, why do we use charcoal or, I don't know, it's pretty inexpensive, but people use it, fine artists use it, you know, I don't know, whatever. I'm not a tool snob. There are certain tools that I really love, like the Pentel brush pen is freaking super sexy. It's awesome. But I'm not even that good at that yet, but I love it, and I want to get better at it. Uh, you know, there's tools that I do enjoy, but, you know, I don't need the, you know, the Winsor Newton series whatever brush, you know, or any, you know, I'll just use the brush that comes with the freaking watercolor kit. I don't care. You know, I'll make something and it'll look cool. So, yeah, that's kind of my attitude. Maybe I'm a jerk. But, so yeah. So that's what I've been doing. I did a watercolor slash ink piece the other night. I was really tired, but I don't know, my art tools are sitting right next to me. I'm watching TV. I'd rather be doing art than anything, so started throwing some watercolors on pages, and then I figured I'd draw something over the top of it. So I did like this Star-Lord sketch over it, and came out pretty crappy. I mean, it came out cool. It looks like a cool picture of a guy, you know, but it doesn't look like, you know, the actor. I don't know what the guy's name is. I love him on Parks and Rec. He's an awesome actor, funny dude. Love Guardians of the Galaxy. But yeah, it doesn't capture his likeness at all, so that's okay. I just throw that one in the pile. It's not like it took me forever. It took me like, I don't know, while I was sitting there for 45 minutes or something. So, yeah. But it was fun. I mean, I gotta just keep drawing and stuff anyways, you know. And you know what? I think what I'm gonna start doing is sometimes I draw or do pieces that aren't, like, gonna be used for anything, but I don't do it in my sketchbook necessarily. So, like, that piece is one of them. Or I might do it in a different sketchbook because, like, if I use tone paper or something. So I'm gonna start maybe, like, taping those pieces into my sketchbook and count that as a sketch, you know, as a page for, I've seen people do that. Also writing like notes in your sketchbook is a cool thing. And, you know, I've set out this month to do a sketchbook a month, and I'm definitely not even coming close to finishing the sketchbook for this month. It's just not going to happen, which is okay with me, because it just, August is always a super busy month, and this August is might have been the busiest I've had so, you know, far in my life. The biggest thing is because towards the end of the month, everybody's birthday in my family is like the end of August, almost everybody. And then my wife and her sister, their twins, their birthday is September 17th, which isn't too far away, like the next month over. So, you know, and there's just other stuff, you know, people get busy in August because it's like summer and they want to not have missed out, so they try to do some different things. Convention season as well, you know, I went to a convention last weekend, I'm tabling at one this weekend, you know. August is just not the greatest month to start a sketchbook a month challenge. So, you know, I haven't even gotten halfway in the sketchbook, and it's already a pretty thick sketchbook anyways, so this is going to become the August to September sketchbook, and then I'll start a fresh new sketchbook November. So yeah, but I have been drawing a lot more. One thing that's crazy, and I don't know if it's from just using my phone or working and doing heavy lifting, or drawing, it's probably a combination of all of it. I've just been like drawing a lot more and trying to do things, and I've been having a little bit of pain in my arm and in my, especially my thumb, you know, joints, and, you know, so I don't know, hopefully that's not a permanent thing. It starts to feel like tight in there a lot, and sometimes it's a little painful. It was really painful for a couple days there, but I had to get my comic done, so I just pushed through it. I mean, it wasn't, like, excruciating, just enough to be like, I'm worried that if I keep using this, am I going to mess myself up, you know, and make it worse, that type of pain. So, you know, been thinking about that. But, you know, just pushing forward. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. There's more to it, and hopefully I'll remember it, because I really have some interesting things I was thinking about. But, you know, I was just thinking, like, this whole idea of, like, oscillating back and forth with things, and kind of being nimble, but also being productive, you know, being efficient, all that fun stuff, but then also pulling back, you know, and making sure you spend time in certain areas that need the attention. And that's what I'm learning a lot with doing this third comic is, you know, each comic I've leveled up, you know, and now I'm to the point where, you know, I keep telling people recently that it's so weird. Like, I know I can do good art, but then when it comes to making comics, it's not really my best art. And I keep not being sure. I'm trying to, like, figure it out in my mind and work it out. Like, why is that? And then I also noticed that other people, the same thing with other people. Like, if they do one piece, it looks great. But if they're, you know, knocking out comic pages, you know, there's something to be desired there. And I think part of it is, this is especially for newer artists, you know, eventually you get to the point where you knock out good pieces within the comic and outside of it. But, you know, I think part of it is when you're drawing comics, you're just drawing a lot of stuff and a lot of poses and a lot of environments and just a lot more things that you just never would draw if you were just sitting there in your sketchbook playing around. At least not at first. Now I'm starting to draw things that I would never usually have drawn in my sketchbook. I'm starting to draw in my sketchbook because that's my practice area. That's my opportunity. Like sometimes at work, I bring my backpack with me everywhere I go. So sometimes at work I'll go to a job site or something, and the people won't be there yet for like 10, 15 minutes, or like I'll have to wait for another truck to get out of the way or something, or there's always some little, not always, but once in a while there's an opportunity there. It's like, okay, rip out that sketchbook right there, then and there. And I've been learning how to get in the habit of doing that. Just take that sketchbook out whenever you have those little moments, which I don't have a lot of, but if you do capture them, you find that you'll start getting a lot more practice in. But yeah, rip out that sketchbook, and I did that this week at one point, and for the first time in a long time, you know, I just draw what I saw out of the front of the window of the truck, you know, and that was, you know, it wasn't very exciting. It was a parking lot, but there was like trees all around, and you know, I notice when I'm drawing comics, I draw trees okay, but I haven't drawn a lot of trees in my life, so this was a good chance to kind of observe and see how things work more than I have before, and see how the shadows go in and out, and how can you, like, I was pretty much just playing, it was scribbling and playing with values and stuff more than anything, and just the shape, sort of, the general shape. I wasn't, like, trying to draw, like, detailed or, like, leaves and stuff. I was just trying to see how like the trunk goes into the leaves, and also just the general landscape and the perspective and stuff. So you know, it was more exercise in observation and seeing, which is a very important part to drawing well, is drawing, learning how to draw what you see and not what you think you see. And there's a lot of tricks to help you learn that. Contour drawing, blind contour drawing, are two good ones. And, yeah. So, oh, and, like, the contour drawing where you just put your pen down and you don't lift it up until you're done with the drawing, that's a good one, too. And then just practicing, you know, just practicing from reference, and try to really draw what you see. And if a line that you think is there, like on a person's shoulder, isn't really there, don't draw it, you know, draw everything around it. And you'll come to find out, you'll start to see how forms emerge and things like that. And it's really cool. And, you know, I don't draw like that when I'm making comics, but it's great to know that kind of stuff. And it really does inform better drawing, you know. So, and plus, that's the kind of art that impresses people. To me, that's easier art. But, like, drawing from reference is way easier to me than illustrating from my imagination. And, like, people always are so impressed by that kind of stuff. But it's like, okay, that's cool, but that was easy. Like, that's not how I necessarily want to draw when I'm making my things for, you know, comics or the things I really want to make, but I do enjoy just the act of doing it and the learning that's happening. I guess that one of the things is I'm thinking about is just like learning how to push forward and pull back all at the same time, you know, kind of. And you know, when you're young and ambitious, sometimes you do a lot more pushing forward and skip the details, and that's fine, you know, you're learning that, you know. I feel like art teachers and teachers in general, you know, they do the best they can, and they learn certain techniques, and there are certain things that help and whatnot, but I think sometimes they kind of lose an opportunity when they try to rigidly direct anybody. Like when teaching, like learning piano or like a instrument or art especially, I've noticed it, but I bet it's applicable in other things too. Math maybe even, you know. I have a whole bunch of stuff I'd love to say about math, but I won't. I think math is way cooler than I thought it was when I was in school. And I think that the school teachers don't do good service towards that when it comes to that. A lot of people end up hating math, and math is an amazing thing. So it's like, that kind of sucks that people hate math. But anyways, you know, same thing with art and music, you know. It's like, the person obviously wants to be in that class, especially if they picked it, or especially in like a college or something. So let them kind of run with whatever it is they want to draw. Just say, okay, what would you like to draw? Bam. Okay, draw that. Do it. Do your best shot. And then when they start running into snags, coach them into, okay, well, you know, if you want to do this better, if you want to be able to, if you don't like how this is looking, here's a couple exercises. Do these, like, you know, fill up 10 pages in your sketchbook with, you know, this, and I bet you'll start to, that part of your drawing will start to look better, and then, you know, they'll be motivated because they want to make better drawings of whatever it is they really want to draw, and they'll do that practice instead of, okay, first. And Jeff Lafferty was talking about this in one of his videos recently, and he's like, you know, okay, now first we have to start with anatomy. You have to know the bone structure and everything underneath and this and this and that. Next we go to perspective. You can't draw well if you don't learn these things first. You know, that is great. You know, yes, you need to learn those things. You need to learn the fundamentals, but I don't think that approach of that, like, that's like, let's take something that's awesome and exciting and approach it the most boring possible way we can. And that's what that is, in my opinion. You know, it's like, why not just let the kids draw whatever the heck they want to draw and then teach them as they go? I think that's more of that, you know, mentor mentality. Or apprenticeship mentality. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe apprentices did say, do this 100 times, even though you're like, what does this have to do with anything? And I don't know. You see that a lot in, like, karate training or, like, you know, physical training for any kind of sport, or I've been watching Rocky, and you see, like, what's his name, the trainer guy, he's like, run around and see if you can catch this chicken. Like, what does this have to do with boxing? But it helps you be quick on your feet and stuff like that. And once you can finally catch this chicken, you'll be a lot quicker. So, you know, I can see how that kind of stuff would be good for certain things, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not the expert, so. But I don't know. I feel like I would have done better, and I'm learning now that way. You know, I'm drawing. That's how I'm approaching comics, you know. I started off, and I'm like, there's a lot I don't know, but I'm just going to do it. And if it comes out crappy, it comes out crappy. I'll at least be able to say, I've made a comic, finally. I mean, my whole life I felt like I was a comic artist, even though I never drew a comic. You know, and then it finally dawned on me, you know, I should actually draw a comic. You know, I mean, I've always wanted to, but it's just like, you know, that whole rut you get into as an artist and whatnot. But, you know, and then I finally did. I did my first comic, and it's like, all right, there's a lot I need to do to work out to get this better, but hey, I got my first comic out. I did my second one. I had leveled up a little bit, purposefully added some elements, and learned some new things. All right, yeah, this comic kind of sucked too. But, you know, I got two comics out, and it's a little bit better than the last one. All right, number three, same thing. You know, looking at it now, there's definitely, especially in some of the earlier pages, but really throughout, there's definitely a lot I need to improve on. But it looks a lot better than number one, than the first comic did, you know, or there's definitely more tools I'm able to, you know, pull off of and do use, you know. So now I'm learning, you know, push forward. Before it was just like push forward, just push forward to the end until you get a comic. But now, you know, quality control is starting to seep in a little bit, you know, and I'm like, okay, push forward, yes, but let's spend a little bit more time. Like, I still haven't gotten to the point where I do formal thumbnails, you know. I still want to just get to the page, you know, but I'm starting to feel more interested in doing thumbnails. And I also, like, my scripts or my, you know, the writing for the books is still, like, just a few scratched out notes on a page. And, I mean, I do kind of thumbnails, but they're, like, more just saying, this is what I want on this page. But it's, like, a half thumbnail, half writing thing. But it's literally on, like, three scraps of paper, you know. And I almost lost the paper, so I was like, oh, crap, well, I'll just write new dialogue, you know. But I did find it, and I was able to do it. But even the last few pages, I didn't write any dialogue for it. I just put kind of word balloons where I thought they might go. And I also, I knew where I was heading to, so I kind of knew the rhythm. But, you know, I didn't write, for the last, like, three or four pages, I didn't really write the dialogue until the whole comic was done already, and I was just typing in the dialogue. But, you know, one thing I noticed with this comic is all the word balloons are pretty much just a straight-up circle, because that's all I have is, like, one of those little templates with the circles and stuff. I have one that's more like ovals and stuff, but none of them are, like, good shapes. They're too, like, thin. So I gotta either find a new template, or I don't know, how do you guys do that? I want to make my words balloons nice. I mean, I could do it all digitally, but I don't know. I don't know, I might do like a back and forth thing like Kevin Cross has been doing. You know, do some drawings and go scan it in, and then, you know, lay the word balloons in and then print that out and then draw over the top of that. You know, that's kind of an interesting way to do it, but then you're wasting paper and ink, and not that I'm too worried about that, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what works. So yeah, there's like a lot of give and take, back and forth stuff going on, and I'm learning, you know, and that's the thing, like, I'm learning that if I do sit down and spend a little more time on the script first, if I do sit down and, you know, rough out the thumbnails a little better, it makes the next steps easier. And I can focus more on what I need to focus during the visual storytelling part, because I won't be worried too much about the dialogue. So if I spend the right amount of time on each step, the next step is not so hard. And the book does look better, you know, and sound better, and it's just better to read and stuff. So, you know, I'm learning that stuff, and I'm enjoying the process of learning, and I'm okay with, you know, it not being perfect. And I'm working my way up, you know, so, yeah, I'm doing a lot of that. And there was another topic I was thinking about that I wanted to talk about that's kind of related and that I was kind of leading to, and I knew it in the beginning and I totally forgot, but I gotta pause this anyways for a little bit, so maybe I can remember it before, you know, I get back to finishing this recording. So yeah, I'll see you in a sec. Alright, y'all, so yeah, I'm back. And I do remember what I was going to talk about, but the only thing is I already did talk about it and recorded it. But somehow yesterday when I was putting the podcast together, I looked in my Google Drive and I guess I'd never saved it to Google Drive or something because it wasn't there. So here I am bright and early, 6:12 in the a.m. on Monday morning. I gotta record what I already recorded. Oh well, no biggie. Something about Mondays, you know, people tend to hate Mondays, you know, for their job and stuff. And I used to hate it more, but like I don't kind of hate my job as much as I used to. You know, it's all right now. It's better. Think a bunch of things have changed that made it a little better, so that's cool. And I guess my attitude has changed a little bit, so that's cool too. But you know, if things get dicey, I'll probably hate it again. But still not exactly what I want to be doing or anything. But anyways, the thing about Mondays is, you know, I do kind of, you know, not like Mondays a lot of times, but at the same time, when you're really busy with the extracurricular stuff, as I have been, you know, I had a con 2 weekends ago that we meet and went and picked up my buddy in Long Island, and then he's been hanging out with us all week, which is that's awesome and everything. But you know, we had a lot of fun at the con, and then we had the con this weekend, and while all that was going on, I was trying to finish up my comics, so it's like I had company. And I didn't want to neglect, you know, hanging out with Will, but at the same time, I had to get this comic done. And so I did, and he understood, he knew, because he gets ready for cons too sometimes. So, you know, that kind of worked out and everything, but, you know, all that activity, like, by the end of it, I was kind of really drained. And especially yesterday, I didn't really feel like doing anything. I still had to get a few things here and there done, but, you know, I skipped on my 100 days of comics. I skipped on my little verses that I've been doing daily. I just was like, you know what, it's Sunday. You know, I'll do what I have to do, but, you know, I'm not going to stress much. You know, if something doesn't work out, I'm not going to stress it. And so, you know, I've was like, well, you know, the Artcasters group was doing their video thing, and I'm like, well, I happen to have an opportunity where I actually have time to do that, so I was like, I'll just sit in, you know, it'll give me a chance to work on the podcast while I'm in front of the computer, and I can get it ready, and all that, and while we're talking. And also, I had another thing I had to do on the computer. I was like, well, it's just a couple little things that won't be too much of a problem. I do have, that was the one thing I did have to get done, was get my, you know, podcast up. But then I found out I only had part of, you know, the first part of it. I'm like, oh crap, so now I have to record it. And that's when it was starting to be like, okay, this is going to be stressful. And I'm like, all right, screw that. I'm just not going to stress out about it, and I'll re-record on Monday, because I just do not have it in me to, you know, try and fix this up and rush around, you know. So, you know, I just let Sunday be Sunday as much as I could, and hung out with art casters, and that was fun too, you know. So did that, and then, you know, now I'm here. Monday morning, trying to record the rest of this podcast, which is fine. Like I said, you know, you take that time to relax. And then last night, you know, I went to bed a little early, and now I feel, you know, a little more re-energized or whatever, you know. I mean, I need to be good to get some coffee going pretty soon. But, yeah, so what I wanted to talk about, though, that I was forgetting in the last portion of the podcast was the idea of having your own, like, unique... trying to hone in on what is your own unique thing, you know, like, what sets you apart from the rest. And one way that I've heard people say this, there's a bunch of different ways I've heard different, like, business... or marketing or whatever podcasts talk about it. And you know, one of them is like your USP, your unique selling proposition. And there's some other ways, I don't know if I remember them, but then there's one way that I thought was kind of funny, but it's a little arrogant, I guess, if you take it that way, but I just think it's kind of funny. And there's a way that it kind of helps too, to think about it this way. But one way some people put it is your what is the unfair advantage that you have over other people and similar things you're doing, you know. We're all unique. We all have different combinations of experiences and you know, points of view, and just you know, our environments are all different. And just being a human being, you're gonna be unique anyways, as it is. So, you know, we all have something unique about us and about our work too. And whether we know it or not, and I think that's part of becoming an artist, finding your style, things like that. Part of that is just honing in on what it is that you naturally have strengths in, you know, and kind of focusing on that. And the unfair advantage thing is, you know, the way I think about it is, like, a lot of times you can get discouraged when looking at other artists, or, you know, especially, and you know, you'll look at somebody and you'll be like, oh, well, you know, they're doing well with this thing, that's really cool, but they have this and I don't, you know, or they have this much experience and I don't, or, you know, oh, they have this certain combination of things, but I don't, so, you know, that's why I'm not doing so well, you know. But you can flip that on its head by saying, okay, well, what is my unfair advantage? You know, they have an unfair advantage. What's mine, you know? And you do have something, you know? And just kind of analyzing some different people, you can kind of see what their unfair advantage, so that, you know, as an example, so you can kind of hone in and figure out what yours is. Trying to think, like Peter Palmiotti, for example, you know, he's working hard trying to get his stuff out there, trying to do what he can, and, you know, he's struggling sometimes he's having success here and there, just like all of us. And you know, but he does have some things that would be an advantage, which is the years and years of experience he's had in the industry, you know, and all that time he's put in on inking and things like that, and he has probably more connections. I mean, just the fact that his brother is Jimmy Palmiotti is pretty big deal, you know, because, I mean, I don't know that he even really uses that, though, or that would help him. I mean, everybody's got to kind of figure out their own way and stuff, but, you know, that might be something. But, you know, so those things are maybe some advantages, but especially probably the biggest thing for him is all the work he's put in for so many years being an anchor in the industry, you know, and his experience with other people in the industry, you know, that can't not help him, you know. So, you know, there's that. All right, so got my coffee and other things, and I'm just waiting here for a minute to do some other stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things you can look at, you know, for people with examples. I'm trying to think of, like, maybe some famous people. I don't know, maybe one will come to me, but, you know, but even for myself, you know, and I think the one thing is that you can have an unfair advantage in many ways, or just an advantage, or however you want to look at it, that nobody, or not as many people have, and it's kind of the combination of all the different things, but, you know, you can have a lot of them, and... You know, and they can be simple things, too. They don't have to be artistic things. Like, for instance, for me, some of my things I can think of that might be unfair advantages is the fact that I've spent a lot of time working in the hip-hop field. So that will inform some of my art. There's a lot of different ways that could help. That... also is, you know, the mixture of, like, the superhero plus the hip-hop stuff is kind of what I've done a lot of, so I can push that, I can use the knowledge I have for hip-hop, you know, to insert that into my writing, the connections I've made through hip-hop, maybe, you know, I'll have a different reach because I can connect with those people as well as the comic people, which, you know, it is there, but, you know, it's not necessarily as big an advantage as you might think. It's hard to get hip-hop people to actually buy anything sometimes, so I don't know, it's weird, but, you know, but it's always good to have, like, those two different kind of, disciplines that can help inform each other and stuff. So there's that, more, that's like more on a little bit of an artistic level. You know, just where you've come from can be an advantage sometimes, especially if you're writing a story. You know, say, you know, I don't know, this is just an example, but say that, like, you know, Westerns are a big thing, you know, all of a sudden it's like a huge thing, everybody's loving Westerns, you know. And you happen to live in, you know, the Midwest or Texas or, you know, somewhere down south over there or whatever, somewhere where that might have taken place, you know, you have a distinct advantage over people who haven't because you've grown up there. You can go to whatever museums are there that'll talk about, you know, the Western stuff. I mean, everybody's got access to the internet and they can do their own research too, but when you actually live in some of these places, you might be able to have a better feel for how the Western will be, you know. Sometimes having an outside perspective makes it even better, though, which is, that's another way you can have an advantage that's interesting. Like, for instance, Gangstar, one of the biggest well-known hip-hop, like, just straight-up awesome hip-hop groups ever. And... they're known as East Coast New York, you know, hip-hop, which was huge, and is still huge, but, you know, there was a time where it was, that's basically where hip-hop began and everything. funny thing is, the two people who make up Gangstar, I mean, there's like a whole crew or whatever, but the two main people who you know about would be DJ Premier and Guru. DJ Premier is from Texas. And Guru is from Boston, originally, but they, you know, kind of, they both went over to New York because that's where hip-hop was hot and everything, and they found a way there, and, you know, they did a lot of work from Brooklyn, and they're pretty much known as, you know, a Brooklyn group, you know, and they rep New York, like, pretty much like almost no other, you know, they're just really... Or, well, I should say repped, because Guru is unfortunately has passed away, but DJ Premier is still doing it. But, you know, so sometimes being outside, there is a Russell Simmons book. He was talking about how some people kind of from the outside have been more influential because they can see... You know, a lot of the hip hop guys, you know, they're like inside of it. You know, they all grew up in New York and stuff. So they're like, you know, they just maybe take certain things for granted. The way they talk about their lives and stuff and whatnot. That's just kind of normal to them. But people coming from the outside who have no clue about what that kind of life is like, they can see what the thing is that's making it so appealing. You know, and what the thing is, where the potential is and stuff. So sometimes having an outside perspective in certain situations can be an unfair advantage. So there's so many different ways to look at it. Even little things like, I don't know, and I hate to, like, kind of do it like this, but, you know, the fact that I don't have kids, you know, that might be an unfair advantage to a certain degree because, you know, I have more time maybe to do some things. You know, I see people who do have kids and I spend a lot of time with my nephews, so I kind of can see that too really well. I can imagine it would be really hard to fit in even a couple seconds. I mean, I have a hard time fitting in a couple seconds sometimes myself. So if I had kids, like, I can't even imagine how I would even possibly get anything done. But I feel that way about my life now, and I do get a lot done, so, you know, it's able to work. And sometimes, and again, like, sometimes you might think having more time is an advantage, but I see that some people have a lot of time, and they have a hard time getting stuff done, because it's easy to get inside of your mind, you know, get kind of trapped inside of your mind, and you get paralyzed and stuff, and you don't have the pressures of, you know, maybe a job or whatever it is that, you know, that having kids or whatever that takes up your time. So not having those pressures, you don't, you know, you're not, I don't know, like, the time that you do have when you have those time constraints is precious. And you're like, I have to make something happen during this time or else I won't have a chance again. But if you have a lot of time on your hands, it's easy to be like, well, I can, you know, I got a lot of time, I can do that part later, let me, you know, it's okay if I get distracted here, or whatever, you know, so your mind can screw with you in that way. So it's crazy, it's interesting how some things are more advantages than we think they are, and some things are less advantages than we think they are. So, yeah, I don't know, that's kind of what I was thinking about that. But it's good to just, like, pay attention to that and try to figure out what helps you more. What is your advantage, you know, that, and like, what are your strengths, you know? And then work, you know, towards your strengths. You can work on your weaknesses, but you're going to have a lot harder time. Like, it's not going to necessarily improve because even no matter how hard you work on your weaknesses, they're still going to be, you know, not as good as somebody who has a strength where you have that weakness. You know what I mean? So it might even be better to try to get somebody else to do the thing that you have a weakness at, you know, or at least get to a level where it's passable and then, but then focus on your strengths. You know what I mean? So So yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. The other thing, you know, where's your unfair advantage? And I think I'll pause it right there, and then we'll come back with a little bit of an update on how BingCon went and all that. All right. So yeah, I just wanted to say too, I was thinking, you know, having kids is an advantage too, actually. I mean, I wish that's, I hope, you know, one day I will have kids. That's kind of my plan, but unfortunately it might just not work out with my circumstances. But, you know, having kids gives you that experience, you know, and actually that would be very helpful for one of the books I'm working on now. The Travelers is basically a father-son story. But who knows, maybe that'll help me too, because I kind of had a screwed up father-son situation when I was growing up, and I think about how I would be try to be a good father, like, probably, I don't know, just a lot, you know, because I appreciate what others might have taken for granted, you know, having a good father and mother situation, you know, and I don't know, I just always, I think about that a lot, like, what I would do and stuff, and I don't know, not that I know, you know, they always say, and I agree, it's probably very true, that you really don't know until you have your own kid, you know, you just don't, you can't know, even though I feel like I'm close with my nephews and stuff, but I can see that. So yeah, you just never know what's going to end up being an advantage or not, you know, but it's good to keep an eye out for that, you know, so. But, yeah, the BingCon and just this whole, you know, last week and stuff has been really cool. Had a lot of fun time geeking out with my buddy Will, and we went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy first thing when we met up in Long Island. It was kind of, I don't know if I told you guys this yet, but we went there, and the first time I ever been to a theater like this, that we went into the theater, neither of us knew it, but we went in there, and every single seat is like a recliner Lazy Boy chair, basically, with like a cup holder. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, we actually got kind of crappy seats, like in the corner front. We were like, had the last seats available, surprisingly. You know, it wasn't even opening weekend. It had already been out for a couple weeks. But yeah, so that was really cool. And I did doze a tiny bit at one point. My wife called it too. She's like, I told that, you know, I thought, I was like, he's gonna fall asleep, and I did a little bit. I can't help it, especially late at night after a big drive, a long drive and stuff. Oh my goodness. But it was only super briefly, and it was probably during an action sequence too, but I don't know, I have problems. But anyways, so it was super fun though. Great movie, I love it. My official review I put out on Facebook, and I got definitely some controversial things going on underneath it. But my official review was it's basically a lot like Star Wars, it's like Star Wars, but with a lot more humor and a lot more balls. And then also that it's a team of Han Solos together. And that's kind of what I, you know, my little review of it. And I got a little flack for comparing it to Star Wars, you know, the Holy Grail, the amazing movie that everybody loves, which I love too. But, you know, I wasn't trying to say it's better than, that doesn't mean it's better than Star Wars. That's just, those were the differences I noticed. You know, obviously Star Wars probably beats that out in, you know, drama and you know, just some of the more subtleties and stuff. But anyways, this isn't a podcast about movies. Anyways, so yeah, so the whole week was fun. The first convention was really fun. And we just walked around and had a good time. I think I talked about that on the last podcast. Obviously I did, because that's what it was partially about. And then, but this weekend the BingCon happened, and, you know, I worked really hard to get, you know, the comic done and all that. And it was really good. The BingCon was fun. The people who put it on do a great job. You know, they really take care of, you know, the people there, the artists and stuff, the vendors. And it's mostly, and I'm very happy to say this, it's mostly artists, you know, like independent comic artists and other kind of artists too. There was some crafty stuff going on there, but it was, you know, related to that kind of stuff, the geeky stuff or whatever. but yeah, so that part of it's really cool. I think it's a challenge though to get people in the door that are interested in buying indie stuff, and a lot of people, obviously, you know, like there was a pretty good flow of traffic, but, you know, I didn't see a lot of people getting like a ton of sales necessarily. And it's not to say anything bad about the people who put it on. It's just, it's a small con, and we're all kind of there. I think they're learning how to do it, and I can't imagine that it's easy, you know. And the people who put it on, they're also artists, so, you know, it's certainly a challenge. But yeah, we had tons of fun. They had music and like a little like cosplay competition thing, and that was fun. When the cosplay competition happened, everybody stopped and watched, which was interesting. Gave me a chance to go grab some pizza. they had food there, and it was cheap. It wasn't like they weren't killing you with the food prices or nothing. Yeah, so it was good. Good experience again. This is the second year, and I love the first year. I love the second year. I can't wait for the third. So yeah, that's how that went. And you know, I sold some stuff, not a ton, but you know, that's all right. And it forced me to get my third book out, you know. And just, you know, FYI, I'm gonna make sure that I have the book available for sale tonight. So, you know, when I post this, I'll be also getting that book up online as well. So, you know, come to DonkeyJawProjects.com. It's and click on the store button. It's my store envy. Brings you to my store envy. And yeah, if you're interested in grabbing the third installment, and I might put it like a option to get like all three books or something too. We'll see. So yeah. That's about it, guys. So, you know, that's the wrap-up. And, you know, let me know what you think about this whole, like, unfair advantage idea. And, you know, just remember, you know, you're kind of flipping it on its head. You know, it's like a mind trick, you know. Oh, you know, these people have it better than me because this, this, and this. You know, my big thing is they're better artists a lot of times than me. But, you know, use that as motivation. One thing, I'm using that as motivation to get better. But also, you know, just flip it on its head and say, okay, but what unfair advantage do I have, you know? And I'm not saying to be arrogant or to be, you know, super competitive, you know. There's a certain competitiveness that I think is healthy, but you know, mostly I keep that part to myself. And that competitiveness, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, I just want to get better. And I want, you know, it's more of a motivation to get better, you know, and do better with the business stuff and all that. But, you know, so but it's not like to be like rude with it or messed up with it, you know. It's just a way to think about it that will maybe make those insecurities feel less bad, because you'll be thinking, okay, well, but maybe I have something to bring to the table that, you know, is a little bit unique. So yeah, that's about it. That's my thoughts on that. Let me know what you think about this. You know, shoot some comments in the comments section at DonkeyJawProjects.com. If you're interested in supporting, go over to iTunes, leave a review. I gotta actually check that and see if anybody's done that. And if so, you know, I'll give you a shout out and stuff. And also, yeah, you could go to the Patreon, patreon.com/plex, and there's also links on Donkey Jaw Projects, and, you know, throw a dollar or so in there a month. That would be rad. Could definitely use it. And that's about it, guys. Thank you guys for listening. You guys are super awesome. And I will talk to you on the next Escape Artist Podcast. Later.
Background music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.